the potential for inward experience is equally as infinite as the potential for manifestation.
Just the phrase preventative mental health is, I've never even heard those words put together.
The state of preventative mental health care in our country is next to none. There's a relationship between individual consciousness and the innate wisdom of our heart.
Hi, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Oh Hi Self. I'm your host, Sandra Possing, and I've got a guest for you today from the health and wellness space. If you've been with us for a while, you know that we are big on health and wellness over here. And while we've had guests speak on, you know, everything from fitness to nutrition and sleep, mental health and more, I'm pretty sure that we haven't touched on some of the topics that we'll touch on today, like at all yet. So I'm very curious and I'm pretty new to what our guest is an expert in. So I'm going to be learning right alongside with you. Okay, that's enough mystery and intrigue. Our guest today is Dr. Caitlin Lehman. Welcome to the show, Caitlin. So glad to have you.
Nice to meet you.
So I've been kind of poring over your website and trying to dig into some of this stuff, but I'm a total curious, but beginner student in a lot of the stuff that you do. So please tell us, I'm going to not even attempt to explain what you do. So please tell us in your own words, like, what exactly is it that you do?
Oh my gosh. I think you'll find that you know more than you think. So just a little bit about me and my background. My name is Dr. Caitlin Lehman. I have a PhD in clinical and multicultural community psychology. I've been in practice here in Southern California for a little over 15 years. Mostly working in community and forensic mental health settings. And then after the pandemic, I decided to take a leap of faith in opening a business called Quantum Clinic. And at Quantum Clinic, your serenity is truly our mission. We are a space for deep autonomic nervous system healing and regulation. And we do this with a combination of both sound and biofeedback training in heart-brain coherence. So people come in, they're greeted by myself or one of our clinical staff members, they're oriented to the space. We do a lovely meditation, guided biofeedback-driven meditation on the front end of services. And then folks have about an hour in the flotation chamber. You receive a variety of different frequencies during that time. But ultimately, the part that we really think is important is the inner work that goes on, right? So it's connecting inwardly, beginning to allow yourself to fully surrender and access what's called a state of coherence. So we can definitely talk a little bit more about that. But after the 1 hour in the tank, then folks get out and they have access to our beautiful Expressive Arts Lounge. And that's just a space where they can deepen the integration of their embodied experience.
So I've never been, well, certainly never been to a space like yours. I'm very aware of like flotation therapy, flotation chamber places. We have a couple of them. I assume they're probably very popular places like New York and LA. I know we have a few of them in San Francisco that I've seen driving by. I've never been to one, and one in Sausalito. But this sounds like a lot more than just what I'm picturing with, you know, can we call it conventional or traditional? Because it hasn't even been around that long yet. But like a traditional flotation spa would, you know, you go in, you float, and then you leave. It sounds like what you guys offer is a much more thoughtful, like integrated experience where it's intentionally designed from start to finish. And it's not just about, you know, you check out for an hour and you float and you get a little sensory deprivation, but it's like, it sounds like it's so much more than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, flotation therapy has actually been around for almost 60 years. It was developed by a psychoanalytically trained cognitive neuroscientist by the name of Dr. Lilly at the National Institute for Mental Health back in the 50s and 60s. And his career took him many, many wild places, right? But ultimately, you know, if you subscribe to the notion that we live in a holofractal universe, like the potential for inward experiences is equally as infinite as the potential for manifestation and outward facing experience. So really beyond kind of like how flotation therapy first started as this kind of like related to the psychedelic movement and exploring altered states of consciousness, which there is the potential for. In practice today, you want to think of flotation therapy really, again, as a space for deep autonomic nervous system healing and regulation. It represents an opportunity for us to reset our baseline for distress tolerance and to emerge more resilient, more capable, and more empowered to face the realities of daily life. So yes, to answer your question, we here at Quantum Clinic, we are a team of mental health professionals. We do very consciously and intentionally focus on the psychoeducational components on the front end of, you know, using the biofeedback-driven coherence meditation, encouraging folks to be in the practice of that while floating, and then applying what's called sympathetic resonance, which is a term that comes from physics, where you're applying an external frequency through sound, which seeks the medium of water or air, right? Or the physical form to facilitate, again, like a harmonizing of that information in the body mind. So, you know, beyond, you know, a conversation about, oh, which does this frequency do that or that, really our academic understanding of this paradigm, this emergent paradigm in which we're understanding how sound affects, you know, for example, brainwaves or different cellular structures in the body. Beyond that, really there's this understanding that it's about cultivating an inner experience of love, of gratitude, of joy, of deep appreciation. And in essence, that allows us to enter into a state of receivership where we can gain access to information that is already available within us, but use it more freely and readily to respond to life's adversities or to create change in our lives.
Oh my gosh, so cool. I have so many questions to follow up and to try to keep them straight in my head. But just to back up a little bit, like for context, because I love understanding somebody's story to understand, you know, not just what they do, but like, why is it important to you? So will you tell us a little bit about like your story and what brought you to this work specifically and why it's important to you?
Yeah, I'm happy to. Really, starting Quantum Clinic felt like the next and natural phase in my professional journey and my evolutionary development in this lifetime. You know, I have for many years had a practice of what's called path work. So again, you know, doing that deep inner work that many of us are called to reflect on themes and patterns and what's coming up in life to allow that to guide me in making decisions for my life. I'm a single mom. I have a almost 5-year-old son. And so during the pandemic was a big time of transition in our family life. And I asked myself, okay, how can I, you know, take all of this training and education as a clinical and community psychologist and really create an offering for the community that we know is empirically based, that is trauma informed, and supports people's needs right now. You know, I think we all underestimate the impact of what we went through together collectively during the COVID-19 pandemic and how that affected us, not only physiologically, but psychologically and also spiritually. So everybody had obviously what they were going through before, during, and after, but I really believe that we need more spaces that are intentionally and explicitly, you know, designed to allow for that deep, 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 again, autonomic nervous system healing and reintegration, right? Because it's almost as though in the collective, there continues to be this like flutter happening, right? And you can see it with what's happening in the Middle East right now and many parts of Africa and the Congo, right? There's war, famine, distress, immense, you know, turmoil in the collective. And what the research is showing on this is that there's a relationship between individual consciousness and our ability to connect with the innate wisdom of our heart and our ability to shift, you know, global field dynamics on our planet right now. So really beyond even the individual level work, which is very important, right? It's important that I am in my body, integrated, present, capable, adaptive, responsive, resilient, et cetera. But that has ripple effects in our world as well. And now more than ever, I really believe that it's important that we're all doing this work, whatever this work looks like for you in your journey and for our clients in their journey. But Quantum Clinic really serves as a wayfaring station for people in that process of self-exploration and self-healing. And we're really kind of basically piloting a model of what we would call preventative mental health care, where we're empowering people with an experience that is literally the physiological opposite of stress. And if stress is attributable for 95 some odd percent of all disease, stress and inflammation, well, then we need to be addressing the root cause. So, you know, while I am not a policymaker, I can't be, you know, raising the minimum wage around the country or, you know, providing stimulus to support people in, you know, having economic stressors reduced, right? I can provide people with the skills to learn how to reset their baseline for distress tolerance and become more resilient in these incredibly difficult times that we're in collectively.
For anyone who is maybe not super familiar, can you kind of define for us the autonomic nervous system and what do we need to understand about it to understand why it can benefit from this type of healing?
Sure. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to have to put my big girl pants on for this one. Okay. So you want to think of the autonomic nervous system as being a network of information flow within the body mind, right? So this is the system that it's responsible for what people would consider fight, flight, or freeze response, right? And it's designed, you know, evolutionarily to keep us safe from harm, right? So when we're exposed to a perceived threat, right? And that's a really important word, perception. When we're exposed to something that we perceive as a threat to our physical, emotional, mental, or psychological safety, this system within our body mind activates a cascading effect of neurochemical and neurophysiological changes throughout the entire body, right? But what happens is that often that system in modern society is kind of always on. It never really, really turns off or resets, right? So out in the wild, you know, an animal runs away from a predator. Ooh. I don't know if the mic picked up on that, but a big motorcycle just drove by. So out in the wild, well, we could use that as the example, right? Like I was like, oh, a sound, right?
It can be
that simple. Oh, wow. That's a very loud sound right outside my door. Right. And it was for me like a perceived, oh, what is that? Right. That then your body, it is that quick, right? Your whole physiology responds to these instantaneous sensory experiences in the present moment, right? So we all have varying degrees of awareness of that for ourselves. But what we are less often provided with are the experiences which counteract that, which counterbalance that, right? There's so much go, go, go in our culture, and relatively by comparison, less emphasis on rest, right? And relaxation and surrender. So what the research is showing on how you do this, right? How you access this state that's called coherence, which is you might want to consider as the opposite of stress, is by literally with the power of your attention and intention, shifting your awareness into the energetic center of the heart, connecting in earnest with a loving or positive feeling like joy, like gratitude, like deep appreciation, and imagining that energetic sensation radiating throughout the body. And that, similarly to the stress response, provides a counterbalance, a cascading effect of neurochemical, neurophysiological, and energetic changes in the patterns of flow of energy and information within your body mind. So you want to become more aware of when you're in coherence or when you're not, right? When you're experiencing stress. And then you want to be able to develop the skills to be able to, you know, turn that part on, right? So that's really what we're doing here is it's mind-body connection work, working with folks. And we use biofeedback sensors so you can actually see it measured, quantified, stuff like that.
This is one of the things that I think is so exciting about being alive right now in this moment in time, especially being in a space like this where we get to explore these types of topics is it's like so much of what, you know, spiritual teachers have been teaching for millennia. Now we are starting to be able to measure scientifically. So it's not just like, you know, like things that yoga teachers and spiritual teachers have been saying for years about like, you know, breathe into your heart space and like everything about, you know, my listeners know I'm obsessed with gratitude and daily gratitude and all these things, but it's like, it's not just touchy feely, like woo woo, it feels good. Like this is science. Your heart is communicating with your brain. Your brain is communicating with your heart. Your gut is communicating with your brain with and all these things. And that's what it makes me think of. So my first introduction to the term coherence came from the Heart Math Institute.
Yes.
I believe you have a relationship with or association with their.
We use their biofeedback sensors and they're a big part of.
Nice. And I think they're actually up here in.
They're in Santa Cruz.
Neck of the woods. Santa Cruz. Okay. And we can talk about that in a second, but that I just, they've been like on my radar for a handful of years. And every time I go to the website, I kind of poke around and I'm like, I'd look just enough to get interested and then just enough to get slightly overwhelmed. So I never really get past just kind of poking around on their website. But can you tell us a little bit about, like what does the Heart Math Institute do? And I guess part of what I'm curious about is like, what are some of the ways that we are able to actually measure things like this these days, like with your biofeedback devices and things? For anyone who's a Dr. Joe Dispenza fan, like, you know, he does all sorts of brain scans, measuring different brain waves and stuff. But for those of us who are, you know, perhaps not deep in the weeds in the science, but are very curious about what that actually looks like.
Yeah. So we use biofeedback sensors that take a measure of heart rate variability and produce a coherence score, which is a power ratio of beats per minute over a particular amount of time, however long you've got the session on, right? So I think actually perhaps what would be more valuable for the listeners than getting too deep into the weeds of the science about this is understanding that there's an emergent paradigm, right, of understanding that, to your point, has been echoed throughout the ages by spiritualists, by mystics, by sages, throughout time immemorium, right? Where it's understood that there is an innate intelligence intrinsic to the field environment, right? So this innate intelligence unfolds through us, through our life experience. And what the science is demonstrating is that we actually have a lot more ability to modulate that experience through attention and intention than we formerly thought we did, right? So one study that I was just reading on the Heart Math Institute's website was, because our, you know, quantum clinic, our tagline is a spa treatment for your DNA, right? So they did an experimental test where they invited someone, a practitioner who is quite capable of achieving higher degrees of coherence, right, as measured by their sensors, right? So they said, okay, go into coherence. And then they took three samples with DNA and they said, through your intention, change this one, and don't change this one. right? And the results demonstrated that just through the power of thought alone, we have the ability to modulate the structure of DNA, right? So you want to think about it like your whole body is either in a state of expansion or contraction. But not only your body, the space between your thoughts, the space between the synapses, the space between the molecules is all in this dynamic and fluid, ever-changing dance. And we are the choreographers. We get to breathe with that dance. And as we begin to learn how to do that, this is the spiritual process. Your emotions become more regulated. You're more capable of showing up in the world for things that are going on in your life. You're essentially in the practice of equanimity. Even if you're sad, you can feel sad. And then you can feel grateful for the presence of the sadness. Like it all sort of really makes a lot of intuitive sense that there would be this bi-directional relationship between our physiology and our mental and emotional state. But that's ultimately what it's coming back to, is that this whole world we experience and the lens through which we see the world is really confirming and validating that the whole purpose of our existence is to just be, and to be in a state of love, in a state of joy, in a state of gratitude for all of the lessons that we are presented with in this lifetime.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Couldn't agree more. When someone comes to the quantum clinic and is perhaps experiencing sound therapy is sound therapy and frequency therapy the same thing? Are we using those?
You could think of them as synonymous. Frequency therapy would be an umbrella term, which could encompass any type of frequency on the electromagnetic spectrum. But sound is a type of frequency, yes.
So when someone is experiencing sound therapy or sound healing in the context of your services, how would that compare to, say, I'm guessing that for the listeners, maybe they either haven't experienced any sort of sound healing, or if they have, it's been something like the last few minutes of a yoga class, the yoga instructor brings out a singing bowl, perhaps like some friends that I went to a sound healing class a couple of years ago where, you know, it was a mixture of like shaking different implements and some singing and some chanting and that kind of stuff. How does that, what I'm describing, compare to what you guys offer?
Yeah. So you want to think of it as just, So sound bowls, the Tibetan bowls or the crystal bowls, more often than not, they're tuned to 432 hertz. They can be, the notes can be different. You can hear the sound differently, but the frequency is usually 432 hertz. What I'll say about it is this, because the research again is this is a relatively nascent field, right, of understanding the complexity of it. And I prefer to think of it more from a gestalt perspective. So looking at this is, which is the idea that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, right? So what we're facilitating for folks is a gestalt experience. We want you to really, it's not so much about this, what the specific frequencies are, though I can tell you that they're for stress reduction, relaxation, waking up all of the chakras. So we play the different chakra tones to get everything moving. And then some sort of universal tones, which are understood to be supportive of psycho-emotional processing, letting go of trauma, fear, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a protocol with approximately 30 frequencies that are administered sequentially over an hour. So that's a little different from like a sound bowl healing, where all of the sounds you might be hearing may actually all be the same frequency. Does that make
interesting
sense?
Yeah. What you're describing sounds closer to more like binaural beats.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Or like the Opus bed, or, you know, there are a variety of different technology based applications for this. that are on the market, and many of them are available for free on YouTube. You know, you can go and listen to things that are supportive for you, that feel good for you. And really, that's what's important, is that affective piece, right? The affect with an A, like the feeling sense. What is it that you're, can you cultivate that, that inner experience, that inner environment that allows you to enter into a state of receivership? And that really is believed to be the underlying mechanism through which sound can then modulate or support and deepen access to, you know, deeper, deeper states of awareness.
So cool. I'm so excited to see where this young, but I imagine quickly growing field is going.
And, Albert Einstein had a quote about the future of medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. And
it was,
Steiner also, you know, said we will one day in the future think of disease as a, as an instrument that's out of tune. Right. So if you want to think, and that's why I think this term gestalt, right, the sum is, or the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, is really important to remember. Because as you zoom in, and if you really get kind of into the weeds about it, you can be like, well, every single cell in the body emits a small but measurable electromagnetic frequency. So how do you then know? It's like, well, you know, because your heart tells you so, right? You know, because you're fully relaxed. You know, because you're able to access inside of your subjective experience. You know, there's this whole debate as to whether or not there really is a true inner realm, right? But we all know and feel that in our own self, what it's like to let go.
Mm. Would you consider the work that you guys do to be under the umbrella of energy healing or energy medicine, or is it more in the realm of frequency and sound?
I would consider the work that we do here to be a model of preventative mental health care. Again, I'm kind of falling back on my training and my roots here, but it's a model that represents a gold standard for neurocardiac functioning, and that allows people to really reset their baseline for distress tolerance, to be able to respond to life's ups and downs, you know, with greater resilience and greater capacity.
It's just the phrase preventative mental health is, I've never even heard those words put together, which is, tell us a little bit about, you know, the state of our current system and how much, you know, we need this type of new, more progressive thinking. Even like even though I've been in the coaching space for a million years, I've never actually worked with a therapist, which is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I have Kaiser. And so I was like, oh, you know, I'll eventually go out of pocket and, you know, find a therapist I really love. But let me just see what I have access to at Kaiser. And it has been such an interesting experience to jump through all these hoops. 4 intake calls where, you know, they do all this screening because they're trying to decide if you do, is it like medically necessary? And, you know, in which case, like, you kind of have to prove to them that you've got depression or anxiety or something. And then otherwise, and I was like, I just want to, you know, I'm going through some big transitions. I just want to, like, I would love to just have somebody listen to me for an hour. Like, I could hire like a rock for my therapist and they'd be amazing. You know? And I'm like,
the rock would be pretty amazing. I'm sure.
My husband and I have an amazing communication, but I'm like, I'm such a big feeler. I have, you know, I need to process more than just with one person or like 10 of my friends. I'm like, I just want somebody to listen. And so I finally get put in this program that's like this 8-week sort of, it's like a third party vendor, and they kind of take you through this like 8-week mindfulness, like training sort of thing. And I'm just like, I don't need more. I don't want more. I have so many resources at my fingertips. I was like, I literally just want someone to listen to me. So I'm like, I'll probably have to find something else. But it was like, when I was going through all these intake calls, I was like, I was basically saying I need, without using those words, I need preventative mental health. I was like, I would love to, you know, talk through some of my childhood stuff. I would love to do this. And they're like, we don't really do that. Like, what are your symptoms? And I'm like, I don't really have any symptoms. I would like to, you know, prevent future symptoms. And I would like to be proactive about my mental health. And they were just kind of like scratching their heads. They didn't really know what to do with me. And I'm like, we need more and better places to do the preventative stuff. Like, you guys.
Exactly. To do just that. Yeah. And so one of the things that we pride ourselves in here is, you know, we do take a screening intake. We ask about, you know, various symptoms and if there's any recent trauma history or history of trauma, questions relating to kind of loosely aggregated around anxiety or depression or medical history things. And then we ask, you know, what's the reason for your visit today? And we, you know, my staff, they're all one, they're all so wonderful. They're such heart-centered human beings. And really the intention is to just connect with and presence for. We get people, just to share a little bit of context for the types of people who come into our facility. You know, we had a couple who got married at the courthouse earlier that day and decided to come spend their wedding day here. We get a lot of anniversaries. We have double occupancy tanks, so we get a lot of couples who are coming for dates and to use this as an opportunity to deepen intimacy and connect inwardly together. But on the opposite side of that, you know, we get people, we had one gentleman who came in who was celebrating the death anniversary of a loved one, honoring the death anniversary of a loved one, and looking for a way to connect with that experience for themselves. And we get a lot of people who are maybe have ailing parents who are nearing end of life, dealing with transition, end of life things. We get a lot of people who are, you know, dealing with stress and anxiety around a transition in their work or their family life, et cetera, et cetera. Then a big one for us is pain management. We get a lot of folks who are coming in because they deal with chronic or inflammatory autoimmune responses, either arthritis or fibromyalgia pain, some workplace injuries, kind of like traumatic accident, pain resulting from traumatic accidents. And the float typically helps folks who deal with chronic pain in over the course of an hour. They come out feeling like, wow, what was that? Because it alleviates about 95% of the effect of gravity. So the whole neuromuscular structure can really surrender and release. But I think where I was started going with this was, you know, my staff are all clinically trained and trauma informed. So if things are coming up for people here, we're here for it, right? Like you're not just going to be met with like somebody whose job is to just get you in and get you out, right? You're being met by someone who genuinely has the intention to connect and to support and to be here for whatever's coming up in life. And I think that as a model of what preventative mental health care could look like, with all due respect to the great work that's being done at other larger institutions, is qualitatively different than a screening intake and then an 8-week stress reduction course. It's qualitatively different than a pamphlet. You know, it's there's the state of preventative mental health care in our country is next to none. You know, we have all of this data saying, oh, ACEs are terrible for health outcomes in the future. But then there's, you know, what do you do about it?
Yeah.
Other than track it? So we really think we have something quite special here, and we look forward to seeing where it takes us. Maybe we'll have one up in San Francisco someday.
I was going to say, if you start in LA, usually the next location is New York or San Francisco. So maybe on the short list there.
I don't know. We keep getting people saying that they really want one on the Central Coast somewhere, like over by SLO.
Yep. I mean, California is so open to this kind of stuff. So yep. I could see that. One more question about just a technical term. I saw something on your website about a scalar upgrade?
Scalar upgrade.
I must know what that is.
Yeah, sure. So we use you want to think of it as a hardware, right? So there's a hardware that has 3 hand wound Tesla coils and inert noble gases in plasma tubes, and it's called the Rasha. And it's believed to activate and structure information in space. Again, all of this is very experimental. It's new technology. It's consciousness-based technology. You're still getting frequencies administered through sound, but they're being passed through this hardware, this device that sits on a table. And so you lay on a vibrating waterbed and you wear headphones for this one. And you, again, allow yourself to connect with the heart, enter into a state of receivership, and just witness what comes up, right? The reason we're called Quantum Clinic is because the quantum realm, which, you know, is understood to be the realm in which the classical laws of Newtonian physics no longer apply, right? So at the Planck scale, where energy and information is pluripotential and infinite. It's called, you know, zero point energy, right? This sea or this foam of energy and information is truly surging, right? Though we're not aware of it because we can't see, touch, taste, feel, experience it in a traditional sense. But how that manifests through us is through our sensory experience, sensations, images, feelings, thoughts, right? It's always changing. If you begin to develop any type of contemplative practice or mindfulness practice, you realize very quickly, oh, there's all of this flow of information and energy passing, surging through me at all times. It's my attachment and identification with the narrative of my thoughts, or it's my attachment and identification with the patterns of sensory experience through which we derive meaning about our existence. But if you really just witness it for what it is, it's just a flow of information. And so allowing ourselves to connect with the space between the thoughts, the space between the awarenesses of whatever the experience may be, ultimately is the goal. And then if anything comes up, if there's like a particular theme, it's like you were laying there and you had this memory of, you know, your mother from childhood, and lo and behold, in the present, she's, you know, dealing with a cancer diagnosis, and this has been very difficult for you. And you're drawing associations within the psyche, within the self, that allow for you to move through that, right? And of course, that will be unique and specific to the individual going through the experience, because your life is obviously different than mine. And mine is different than my son's, for example. So that's the idea, is it's a space for deepening our awareness of that and our connection to it.
I love just the concept of the space between. I think we can apply that to so many things. And, you know, to me, that's where the present moment lives. That's where mindfulness lives. That's where it reminds me of my favorite Viktor Frankl quote, the between stimulus and response, there's a space. And in that space lies our choice and our freedom or whatever it is. And it's just like, we're on such autopilot in the modern world. And like you were saying before, just go, 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 go. And like in this chronic stress response, activated nervous system. And it's like, if we can just start to cultivate these little like moments of pause, moments of space, even like on your Google calendar, is there any white space between all this shit you got crammed on there? You know, it's like we can start to look for space in all parts of our life, like allowing ourselves to be bored for 5 seconds without, I mean, I'm so guilty of it. I pick up my phone, you know, to go to the bathroom, to walk to the other room, you know, and it's like 100%. Give ourselves just a moment to go into rest and digest, to just breathe, to be bored, to like allow our brain room to just be.
I know boredom is such an important human experience, to be bored and to not have to fill your boredom with something like is actually so fundamental and important. It's through boredom that all creativity emerges, right? But to learn to sit with that experience and not have to automatically, to your point, the compulsivity of it, right, is what we're looking to shift for folks. And a space like Quantum Clinic really is, you know, again, so many people are very, very full. They live very full and busy lives, and that's okay. Live it, go for it. And also, there is great possibility in surrender, in relaxation, in connecting inwardly with the innate wisdom of our heart. And again, now more than ever, this is so important that we learn these skills so that we can really take it to the streets. You know, it's not, like we said earlier, there's an abundance of empirical data to support this now. And it's how we live it through our lives that really matters.
Exactly. And having dedicated spaces like the Quantum Clinic so that you have a place, you know, it's like with anything we want to work on, like not all of us are so disciplined that we can do an effective home workout at home every day, which is what we go to the gym, we go to classes, you know, even like those things I started a while ago where it's like busy parents go to like a class that's literally a napping class because they're not going to be able to nap in peace at home. So they go to a napping class, you know, or we go to breath work classes, or we go like having a space to go where you're guided and led through some sort of a protocol or some sort of a journey that you're just realistically not going to do as effectively or as consistently at home.
Say. Yes.
So while I hope that all my listeners hurry up and book a ticket to LA and go to your clinic, for anyone who is realistically not going to actually find a space like yours, but they are very interested in cultivating this kind of space and mindfulness and starting to work on their own DNA. What did you call it? Spot treatment.
A spot treatment for your DNA.
You know, just that kind of healing or sound healing or whatever it is. What would be some other alternatives if they don't have a space like yours to go to that the average person could go pursue?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there are a lot of freely available resources online. You can definitely check out our website, read through some of the blogs, connect to some of the resources that we share there. You know, finding community wherever you are, a community of practice, which truly that is what this is. You mentioned earlier Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, the work at HeartMath. Again, there's some work actually coming out of MIT where it talks about the impact of islands of coherence, right? So we want to begin the cultivation of the practice within ourselves of the embodiment of love, the embodiment of joy and gratitude, deep appreciation or reverence. These are qualities of our experience which are intrinsic. They are innate. They are our truer nature. So really more than, you know, having to seek it outside of oneself, it's a process of remembering that is who we really are. And if you can tap into that within yourself, then you will naturally be gravitating towards people who resonate at a similar frequency to that. And you know, there are communities all across the globe, all across the nation who are preaching this good work. We are certainly not alone in that. And it is my sincere hope that the listeners, wherever you may be, first begin to cultivate it within yourself and then trust that the tribe will rise.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Because it is so much, we are so much more likely to continue the journey when we find people who are on a similar path to
us. Yes, just absolutely.
Resources and
absolutely
share experiences. Yeah. For you, I'm always just so curious about the individuals behind the cool things like Quantum Clinic too. When you think about what's next for you, either in your work professionally or just for you personally, what are you excited about?
Oh, so much to be excited about. I'm really in a place of, I have a young son, so I'm in a rooting phase, right? Where I'm allowing the development of this business and this business model, our practice to grow. I think I'm going to be doing some more podcast interviews, considering writing my second book. My first one I wrote a couple of years ago, still seeing whether or not there's an avenue for publication of that, but looking towards the future of publishing a book on you know, kind of the topics that I talk about here on the show. And and just deepening the daily practice in myself and trusting, you know, the unfolding of the path to present itself.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you for that. And I'm excited for all of us to dip our toes more and more in this types of work. So I really believe with also what Einstein was saying about think in terms of like, or like the future is, I'm probably mixing quotes now, but like the future, think in terms of energy and frequency. I think that's a Tesla quote.
That's
then the future.
Yes. Yeah. Everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. And
there you go.
Medicine is the medicine of frequencies.
Exactly. So all of that, yes, please, times 10.
Exactly.
You know, listeners know I'm a manifestation junkie. So I'm often nerding out on all things, both the spiritual side and the quantum physics side and the neuroscience side. And so anything that I can learn and that I can then share with my audience too.
Especially that brings
the science in, because I think it's so, you know, it's like if we can be creating our lives intentionally with so much love and care versus just this autopilot, like hustle, grind, chronic stress version that most people are unwittingly subscribed to. Let's opt out of that and let's do this way more conscious, way more intentional, and way more healed and healing route. It's just, it is such a different paradigm, like you talk about, and I'm excited for it. It makes me such an optimist, even though there's a lot of terrible shit going on in the world. There's also so much exciting stuff that we have access to now, and we understand better because we can actually measure it scientifically versus just, you know, reading it in all the old, the old ancient texts. So really exciting work. And it's amazing to talk to someone who's in it and who can speak to a lot of the specifics.
Thank you. Yeah. Martin Luther King, obviously, you know, everybody knows Martin Luther King. He spoke a great deal about the creation of the beloved community as the method to combat the evils of our world, right? The military-industrial complex, systemic racism, and social injustice, social and economic injustices. And the beloved community is, you know, an evolving construct, but really I think it kind of comes back to what we talked about earlier, was, which is that it's about creating a shift in perspective, a shift in perspective of understanding the self in relationship to all that is. And when we truly begin to understand and embody the fundamental interconnectedness of all things, right? You cannot help but love. You cannot help but want to support and connect and thrive in community. So, yeah.
So once again, so beautifully said, and thanks for bringing us right back home to the whole theme of this podcast, which is Oh High Self, which is all about coming back home to ourselves and healing our relationships with ourselves and doing all that work inwardly first, so that we can then also go on and connect to the collective and our communities. And anyway, so thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge and your wisdom and the technicalities of some of the really nitty gritty cool stuff that you're into, but also the bigger messages and the bigger wisdom. What are the best places for people to find you on the interwebs and in reality, in the physical?
Yeah. Well, in the physical, we're here in Southern California, in Los Angeles, just north of downtown, in a little haven called Elysian Valley, or Frogtown. We're right on the LA River. So come one, come all. You can book online at quantumclinic.com. You can also follow us on socials at Quantum Clinic USA. And you can find me on socials at Dr. Caitlin Lehman as well. So.
Awesome. Well, we will link to all of that in the show notes. Caitlin, thank you so much for your time. And thank you, listener, for tuning in. If this episode resonated with you, feel free to share it with a friend or maybe take a screenshot. You can always tag us and post it on social. Thank you. I love you. And I'll see you in the next episode.